So I'd just like to mention again that the elders will appreciate your continued prayer for guidance at this time. There seem to be quite a number of matters coming up that require very careful consideration. And you can be sure that the elders are seeking to do that very thing, carefully and prayerfully, to consider all these matters and to make decisions that they believe to be in the mind of the Lord. I'm reminded of the early church, the leaders in the early church, of which you read in the book of the Acts, when they sent out a message concerning a decision they had reached. They began it by saying, "It seemed good unto the Holy Ghost and to us." And that is the desire of the elders here, to determine what seems good to the Spirit of God and then to arrive at that decision for the good of the Lord's people. So continue to pray. Our elders carry a heavy load. It was midnight once again when most of us got home on Monday night from the oversight meeting. And once again, we had to leave behind matters that could have occupied us longer in prayerful consideration. So just keep on praying, and the Lord will guide in all of these matters. Personally, we'll appreciate your prayers for our young grandson, Todd. He had the unique opportunity at 14 years of age of taking a week's cruise on the aircraft carrier Eisenhower. So he's at sea right now. I don't know what condition he's in, but he's at sea anyway. And it's rather a unique opportunity for a 14-year-old to be on such a tremendous ship as that with over 5,000 of a crew on board. So we'll appreciate your prayers. Naturally, his parents and his grandparents are rather concerned that he reach home in safety, preserved not only from any physical danger, but from moral evil as well. Now, would you turn, please, to the first book of Samuel. 1 Samuel, chapter 15. I want to speak to you tonight on the importance of obedience. I have been much in prayer regarding the message for tonight. There is so much in the Word of God that we do well to consider. I find that from time to time the Spirit of God brings a portion of the Word of God, either a short passage, maybe a verse, or even an expression in a verse, to one's mind and impresses it on the heart. And we've been much in prayer that the Lord will guide as to just what he would have us to pass on for your spiritual benefit. We're going to read the last two verses of the portion we'll be considering. 1 Samuel chapter 15, and we'll read verses 22 and 23. And then, because this passage is not as well known as, shall we say, the parable of the prodigal son, and some other well-known passages, we'll read it from verse 1. It's a passage that I feel is filled with many spiritual lessons. I want to avoid the temptation to try and point out all of these, or all that we have seen, and just to center all our remarks around that thought, the importance of obedience. So read verse 22, please. 1 Samuel 15:22, "And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than to sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Now it's those words. They very often come to my own heart at a needed time. To obey is better than to sacrifice. If there's a question of obeying God and doing something for God, there's no question whatsoever as to which we should do. And that is obey. Now, this is a very interesting and instructive passage, and I want us to go back to verse 1, please. Samuel also said unto Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore, hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass." And Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telamim, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to a city of Amalek and lay wait in the valley. And Saul said unto the Kenites, "Go, depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For ye showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt." So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, and of the fatlings, and the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them. But everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, "It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments." And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, "Saul came to Carmel, behold, he set him up a place, and is gone about, and passed on, and gone down to Gilgal." And Samuel came to Saul. Saul said unto him, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord." And Samuel said, "What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear?" And Saul said, "They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed." Then Samuel said unto Saul, "Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night." And he said unto him, "Say on." And Samuel said, "When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey, and said, Go, and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord?" Saul said unto Samuel, "Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, have to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal." And Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offering and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than to sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." A tremendous incident, just filled with spiritual lesson. I shall try to point out just a few of what I consider to be the most important. And as I say, the thought behind the study tonight is the importance of obedience to the commands of God. I believe that that needs to be emphasized today, as it always has. There's a great deal of emphasis on service. And service is right in its place. But the Bible is very clear, to be is much more important than to do. And I'm afraid there's a great deal of work for the Lord that is not the work of the Lord. It's very possible to be very, very busy, very active in what one imagines is the work of the Lord. But all the time there may be disobedience to the word of the Lord. Now, success in service must never be put ahead of or above submission to the Scriptures. Obey is one of the watchwords of Christianity. We could range through the entire Scripture from Genesis to Revelation, and we would find a tremendous impression placed upon obedience to the commands of the Lord. Now we're going to skim down these verses just enough to pick up the story and a few of the important leads until we get back to our theme, to obey is better than to sacrifice. Saul had just been anointed king of Israel, and his first command was to go and utterly destroy the Amalekites. Now, there's a very encouraging lesson right there that, again, I must not linger too long on. God sent them to him to utterly destroy the Amalekites. Now, why? Because God remembered something. What did he remember? He remembered what these Amalekites had done against his people. You know, you can't do anything against God's people and get away with it. You may think you do for a while. You read about this in Exodus chapter 17. They were the first nation that opposed the children of Israel after they had been delivered out of Egyptian bondage. And you read of that in Exodus 17. They came out against them. And in other later passages, we are told what they did. They lay in wait for the weak ones, the aged ones, the stragglers, the ones that weren't able to keep up with the armed men of the camp. They lay in wait for them, and then they pounced on them and slew them. Now, apparently, they got away with it. But we were reading here, God says, I remember what they did unto you. God remembers what is done against his people. And the time comes when he rewards those who have wrought any wrongdoing against his people. That can be of great encouragement to a child of God. That can give courage to walk through an alien world filled with the enemies of God and of God's people. We do not need to walk in fear. We have a God who notices everything that is done for or against us. And in God's time, if anyone harms us, God will take care of it. We can leave it right there. Now, the other side of the coin. When Saul went to attack the first village or town of the Amalekites, he found some Kenites there. Kenites, not Canaanites, Kenites. K-E-N-I-T-E-S. Now, in contrast to what Amalek had done, these ones had shown kindness to Israel. And so Saul sends a message to them. And he says, now I'm going to attack, I'm going to destroy the Amalekites that you're living amongst. Now you get out so you won't get hurt. And they did. Now, while good works, we all know, toward a child of God, will not be rewarded by salvation. We're all clear on that, I'm sure. On the other hand, it's quite just as clear in the Scriptures that God recognizes and remembers what is done toward His people, as well as what's done against them. And He has ways, I'm convinced, of rewarding, not with salvation, but in other ways, He has ways of rewarding those, even unsaved people, high or low, who have wrought good, have shown kindness toward His people. Now that can be encouraging to us as well. But now, back on the main track. Here is this clear command to destroy the Amalekites utterly. Absolute destruction, total annihilation. That was the Lord's command. Now, apparently, Saul obeyed. And he was successful. And we find him attacking and overcoming and destroying the Amalekites throughout their entire territory, right from the land of Havilah, right down to the borders of Egypt. Throughout their entire land, he's apparently successful. And he takes captive their king, Agag. Now that looked like real success. But as we were reading here, there was only partial obedience. What had God said? God said to utterly destroy them. Not to destroy some of them and take some others captive, but to utterly destroy them. But, and that's what Saul claimed he had done. But you know, I always enjoy verse 14. There's such very human touches in the Bible that it becomes tremendously interesting even after having read it for over 50 years. I think I can see Samuel and he's cupping his ear. If you destroyed them all from the highest to the lowest, from the eldest to the youngest, and all of their cattle, what means this lowing of the sheep in my ears? What means this bleating, this lowing that I hear? You know, there's always something that gives you away. Even a cow. Even a cow doesn't have sense enough to keep still sometimes when there's a Christian trying to put something over on the Lord. You try to tell the Lord you've done something that you haven't done and some sheep will start bleating and the Lord will say, what meaneth this bleating in my ear? Yes. Oh, says Saul. Yes, the people did that. Yeah, the people said, well, we'll keep the best of it and we'll give it to the Lord. That's really better than what the Lord commanded. It's a shame to kill the very best. It'd be much better if we just kept them. You notice what Saul said? The people kept them. And he repeats that again in verse 20. Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. I have gone the way which the Lord sent me, but Agag the Amalekites, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took the spoil. You know, when a Christian starts disobeying the Lord, do you know what they start doing? Blaming everybody but themselves. It's always the people did that. The people did that. People shouldn't have done this. The people shouldn't have done that. I utterly destroyed. Yes. You go back to verse 9. And Saul says, the people spared Agag. Look down at the last. He said, they destroyed utterly. All that was good would not utterly destroy them. Everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. Here's human reason entering in. And Saul will blame the people for disobedience, but he'll claim, he says, we destroyed them. When it comes to that which was right, Saul claims that he was part of it. But when it was wrong, then he blames the people. I've lived long enough to learn this, that just as soon as Christians start to backslide, they start blaming other people. Oh, they do this, and they do that, and they do the next thing, and they don't do this, and they don't do that, and they don't do the next thing. It's just as old as Saul. In fact, I think it's about as old as Adam. For you remember what Adam said? The woman whom thou gavest me, she gave me to eat. He's not only blaming his wife, he's blaming God. So you gave her to me, and she's the one who tempted me. It's wonderful when we get away from God how we can find other people to blame instead of pointing to ourselves. I believe Saul would have gotten himself out of a lot of trouble here if he'd have just admitted, yes, I did wrong. The Lord told me to utterly destroy all of them. And when some of the people suggested that we keep the very best and give it to God, I should have said, no, we're going to obey the word of God, whatever it costs. But Saul didn't. And this partial disobedience, for that's what it was partial obedience. And partial obedience is in the sight of God as disobedience. It's not following the Lord. I don't know whether you noticed as we read on down the words of the Lord in verse 11. It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he's turned back from following me. And Saul could say, well, I've just been out fighting your battles. I've been out following you. I was out there attacking these Amalekites wherever I found them. In the sight of God, it was not following him because it was just partial obedience. Now, I believe, and I say this from my heart, I believe a lot of people, a lot of Christians, and a lot of young Christians are making the mistake of imagining that if they do a lot of things that they think is service for the Lord, it'll cover over their disobedience to the commands of God. Let me tell you, it won't. And I've got the whole Word of God before me when I make that statement. What's our text tonight? To obey is better than to sacrifice. You can't give God anything that compensates for disobedience to the command of God. God doesn't want partial obedience. God wants total obedience. And when he tells us, when he commands us to do something, he expects that we shall obey him. And that is the very best thing that we can do. I'm fully convinced, just as it turned out with Saul here. Well, let me say this right at this point. when you turn to the first chapter of the second book of Samuel, you'll find Saul a corpse. And you know who slew him? An Amalekite. If he carried out the word of God, there wouldn't have been an Amalekite to slay him. But because it was partial obedience, there was an Amalekite left to eventually plunge the sword into this disobedient man, and he died. And Saul lost his life in disgrace because he didn't obey the word of the Lord. I'm afraid when many of us stand at the judgment seat of Christ, we're going to find we lost our life. Why? Because we didn't obey what the Word of God commanded us. You know, sometimes when it's been hard to obey the Lord, and I'm not standing up here saying it's an easy path to obey the commands of the Lord. It isn't. It doesn't cost a lot to obey the Lord. It costs everything. Someone said to a Christian, a godly Christian who manifested by his words and actions that he was really in fellowship with the Lord, someone said to him, you know, I would give the world to know the Lord the way you do. He said, that's exactly what it cost me. That's exactly what it cost me. It cost the world. It cost everything to obey to the last letter the word of God. But if we know what the command of the Lord is and we disobey it, our soul be saved, yes, but our life will be lost at the judgment seat of Christ. I think I can say before God and man, there's only one thing I'm afraid of. I'm afraid to disobey the word of God. I'm afraid of it. And I confess to you that sometimes I'd almost wish that the Lord hadn't shown me some truths. It would have been so much easier. But I'll tell you, once you are shown the truth of God, my brethren, the nearer I get to meeting my Lord, the nearer I get to the judgment seat of Christ, the more afraid I am of disobeying what God has taught me in this word. And I've lost some of my closest friends in Christian life and service because I've had to obey the word of God. And it simply says to obey is better than to sacrifice, and to hearken from the fat of rams. Connection with the offerings, all the fat belonged to the Lord. They did certain things with other parts of certain offerings, but the scripture from God was very explicit. All the fat is the Lord's. So if we give all to the Lord and don't obey him, then we are missing God's best. You remember what the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians says? Though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. And the searching question that comes to every heart tonight here is not, what am I doing for the Lord? But am I obeying the Lord? Now, if you obey the Lord will lead you to do what he wants you to do. And a child of God in touch with the Lord, walking in the path of obedience, can accomplish more in 10 minutes than a child of God in disobedience can accomplish in 10 years. There's a young German man by the name of George Mueller, and when God saved him, he wanted to become a missionary to the Jews in Palestine. And he offered himself to a missionary society, and they turned him down for medical reasons. Instead of that, God wanted George Mueller to establish a home for orphan children in Bristol, England, and he did. And the effect, the influence of the Mueller Orphanage in Bristol, England, has reached around the world and has affected hundreds of thousands of lives. But God saw the desire of that young man, and God, as we say, put it on the back burner. And when George Mueller was an old gray-haired man, having lived a life of faith that made an impact on the Church of God as very few lives have done, when that man, having learned a lifetime of lessons, God sent him on a voyage around the world, and he accomplished far more as a seasoned gray-haired veteran, a man of faith, than he ever would have accomplished as a young, raw novice. It pays not only to obey God, but to wait for God's time. If you have been God, I say this very reverently, if you have been God, and below you there was a world that was perishing and rushing on to hell, and you had determined to send your only son into this world, let me ask you, would you have sent him as a baby? Would you have allowed that baby to grow naturally to become a boy? And then after he'd reached manhood, to spend 30 years in absolute obscurity before sending him out on his public ministry. That's contrary to human reason. We would have said, as we say, we'd have had him hit this earth running, getting things done as quick as he could. But it was God's way. And I believe one of the great needs of today is for men and women who have been in the presence of God and who come forth as God's messengers of truth. They're the ones that are going to really reach the hearts of both the saved and of the unsaved. Saul may have thought he was obeying God. He protested that he was and that he had. But in the eyes of God, his partial obedience was disobedience. And as we're reading in that solemn 23rd verse, for rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. To me, one of the saddest episodes in the entire Bible, apart from the suffering and death of our Lord, is the death of Moses. We have just been reading it again in our morning readings. We just finished the book of Deuteronomy in making our way once again through the scriptures. And the pathos connected with the death of Moses never fails to reach my heart. He put up with so much. He served so faithfully. He's the one who is spoken of as being faithful in all God's house. He's the only man in the Bible that was a prophet and a priest and a king. No one else in the Bible, save our Lord Jesus Christ, is spoken of as a prophet, priest, and king. He is undoubtedly one of the great servants of God of all time. Yet he disobeyed. Trifling, you say? We read about it in Numbers chapter 20. He was told to speak to the rock, and you remember he struck it. He spoke to the people, and he struck the rock. Trifling? Surely over against all that he'd done, and all the obedience he'd rendered, and all that he'd put up with from God's grumbling, complaining, backsliding people for 40 years in the wilderness. Surely that one little slip isn't going to be very important. They travel through the wilderness. One after another, the men of war die. And the last one's dead and buried. And they come to the borders of the land of Canaan. And God says to Moses, "Now, Moses, I want you to go up in that mountain and take a look at the land. I'm going to give it, just as I promised, I'm going to give it to my people Israel. Moses, you can see it, but you can't go over and possess it. You failed me. You disobeyed me. And from the heart of that great man there comes the cry, oh God, let me go over. Let me go over." And God has to say, "Speak to me no more about this matter. Thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go in." I acknowledge we don't understand that. I don't think we can really enter into that. But that's God. That's what God did. And that impresses on me. I could spend a lifetime of service for the Lord if I act in known disobedience to His word. I may find at the judgment seat of Christ that I've lost my whole life. It's serious. To me, it's solemn. When God shows me from His word that I should be baptized, I must be baptized. When He shows me from His word that I must remember the Lord, I must remember the Lord. When He shows me from His word that I must gather in His name alone, I must gather in His name alone. When He shows me that holy and reverent is His name, then I have no right whatsoever to attach that title reverent to that puny little human name, H.G. McKay. You say, those are trifling things. I don't think God thinks so. If He did, He wouldn't have put in His word. And I read in my Bible, "To this man will I look, even to him that trembleth at my word." If there's anything I want to go down to my grave doing, is trembling at that word. Trembling to disobey it. God help us. And may the scripture come back to you as it often has to me at a time when I need it. To obey is better than to sacrifice. But Lord, if you'll just let me disobey, I'll give you all my time. To obey is better than to sacrifice. If you'll just let me disobey, I'll give you all my money. To obey is better than to sacrifice. Lord, if you just let me disobey, I'll go to the ends of the earth for you. To obey is better than to sacrifice. We can't get away from it. To obey is better than to sacrifice. And to hearken than the fat of rams. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of coming together tonight, singing, praying, reading thy holy word. What a favored people we are. Our Father, we again ask thee to remember all who are mentioned for prayer tonight, and the many others, Lord, who need our prayers. We pray in a special way for Charles Stevenson, lying there in that coma. If it be thy will, Father, put thy hand upon him and spare him, Lord. He grew up in the Sunday school, Father. He knows the way of salvation. We don't know anything about his spiritual condition. But, Father, we do know that having spent some years in the Sunday school, he knows the way of salvation. Lord, bless him. Bless our dear sister Mary. We commend her to thy sustaining grace in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.